With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDEA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalise and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at IDEAIreland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
We begin with breaking news in Baltimore and what the city's fire department is calling a dire emergency after one of the city's major bridges was struck by a container ship. Bloomberg's Steve Potosk has the very latest.
This morning, a portion of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed after it was struck by a large vessel. It caught on fire before sinking and caused several vehicles to fall into the Patapsco River. A spokesperson for the Baltimore Fire Department tells the Associated Press that authorities are searching for at least seven people believed to be in the water and are calling the collapse a developing mass casualty event. A fire department spokesperson says agencies received 911 calls around 1:30 a.m. reporting that a vessel traveling outbound from Baltimore struck a column on the bridge. Multiple vehicles were reportedly on the bridge at the time, including one the size of a tractor trailer. The spokesperson added that conditions on the bridge are unstable and unsafe, prompting emergency responders to operate cautiously. Baltimore's mayor, Brandon M. Scott, posted on X that he is in contact with the fire department, Maryland's governor, and other officials, and that emergency efforts are underway. In Washington, I'm Steve Potosk, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Steve, thank you. We, of course, will bring you the latest developments all morning on the bridge collapse. We now turn to the latest legal news involving Donald Trump. A federal judge in New York denied a motion to delay the hush money case against the former president. Judge Juan Merchan has ordered the trial to begin with jury selection on April 15th. Trump says the trial should have been done long ago.
They could have started this when I left office. You could have gone back 3 years, more than that. When I left office, all of these things could have been started, so we wouldn't be quibbling over starting this week or that week or 2 days or 3 days. It wouldn't have mattered. This thing would have been over 2 years ago.
Trump called the judge's decision to hold the trial next month completely unfair because of the timing before the presidential election.
Meanwhile, Trump's business empire was supposed to be in peril yesterday. Monday was the deadline for Trump to pay a bond of more than $500 million or risk the state of New York seizing his assets. Well, instead, a state appeals court tossed Trump a lifeline, slashing the amount he'd have to post to $175 million, an amount he says he can cover within 10 days. The appeals court in Manhattan did not offer any explanation behind that decision.
Well, Amy, the former president also got some good news on the financial front. Shares of the blank check company merging with Trump's social media startup are surging as it begins trading today. We get more from Bloomberg's John Tucker.
Donald Trump's social media company, Trump Media and Technology Group, wrapped up a 29-month-long merger process, meaning shares worth billions of dollars on paper are now officially Trump's. All told, his net worth increased by more than $4 billion. That means for the first time ever, Trump has joined the ranks of the world's wealthiest 500 people on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index with a fortune of $6.5 billion. As it stands now, he can't cash in on his windfall from Trump Media's merger with Digital World Acquisition. That's because his shares are locked up for roughly 6 months. John Tucker, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, John, thanks. And Trump Media and Technology Group will trade under the symbol DJT. It's up 20% in early trading.
And while Trump's wealth is rising on paper, he is losing ground in the latest Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll on the presidential election. It shows President Biden improving against the former president. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons has more on the findings.
President Biden is in the strongest position yet in the monthly poll, with him gaining ground in 6 of 7 key swing states. He's notching significant gains in at least 2 of them, including Wisconsin, where he now leads former President Trump by 1 point after trailing by 4 last month. He's also gaining in Pennsylvania, where the two are tied after Biden was behind by 6 points in February. The two are also tied in Michigan, but Biden still lags Trump in 4 other crucial states. It's unknown if this is a one-time bump after Biden's State of the Union address or the start of a durable change. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Nancy, thanks. In geopolitical news, the U.S. is explaining why it abstained on the U.N. security resolution regarding the war in Gaza, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
The decision caused Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to call off sending a delegation to the U.S. to talk. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller says there were things in it that the U.S. agreed with and some that it did not.
The reason we didn't veto it is because there were also things in that resolution that were consistent with our long-term position. Most importantly, that there should be a ceasefire and that there should be a release of hostages, which is what we understood also to be the government of Israel's position.
Now, Miller says the U.S. position has been consistent and wishes Israel would look at its plan for hostage release and ceasefire. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Ed. One other note to tell you about this morning. The Pentagon says Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin will meet with Israel's Minister of Defense later today. Austin will discuss ways to address the Hamas threat other than conducting a ground invasion of Rafah.
Well, we turn to the markets now, Amy, and U.S. stock index futures are higher following 2 consecutive days of losses on Wall Street. There are plenty of reasons for investors to be cautious. We get the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index on Good Friday when markets are closed. Fed Chair Jerome Powell is due to speak on the same day. Sam Stovall, the chief investment strategist at CFRA Research, says earnings may be the key for stocks going forward.
The estimates have been coming down slightly while the PE for the S&P is now trading at a 33% premium to its average over the last 20 years. And to be a cynic, I think that management has done a very good job of managing expectations, because last quarter was the 57th time out of the last 59 times that actual results exceeded end of quarter estimates.
And CFRA Sam Stovall notes, as we close out the trading quarter this week, the S&P 500 is up more than 9%.
And in company news, a takeover offer has reportedly been made for the bankrupt company WeWork, and it comes from a familiar face, Adam Newman. More from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Newman is WeWork's former CEO. He's also a company co-founder. 5 years ago, Newman was ousted by the board, and he's been trying to regain control ever since. The Wall Street Journal says Newman recently submitted an offer to buy the company for more than $500 million. It wasn't immediately clear how Newman would finance the acquisition. The Journal says Newman's lawyer sent a letter to WeWork's advisors last month saying he was joining with Dan Loeb's hedge fund Third Point and other investors in exploring a bid. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Radio.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
And it's time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A New York City police officer has paid the ultimate price in the line of duty. New York City Mayor Eric Adams announcing at a news conference last night that the officer, Jonathan Diller, was shot and killed while conducting a vehicle stop in Queens.
It is the good guys against the bad guys. And these bad guys are violent. They carry guns. And the symbol of our public safety, which is that police uniform, they have a total disregard for.
Officer Diller was shot in the torso just below his bulletproof vest. The suspect was shot by another officer on the scene. The condition of the other suspect remains unclear. A subway rider was killed when he was pushed in front of a Ford train at 125th Street in East Harlem. Police say the attack was not provoked. The news startled fellow subway riders.
How do you stop one person from making an act, right? That's really difficult, in a huge transit system like this.
A suspect is in custody, and police say the man appeared to have a history of mental illness. Meanwhile, New York City plans to intensify a crackdown on subway fare beating by sending at least 800 police officers specifically to keep watch on turnstiles. Officials say it's the latest in a string of recent moves to address concerns about safety and unruliness in the nation's busiest subway system. Law enforcement officials have raided two properties owned by Sean Diddy Combs. According to AP, the music mogul's homes were searched in Los Angeles and Miami by federal Homeland Security investigation agents and other authorities as part of an ongoing sex trafficking investigation. The Supreme Court is hearing arguments today in a case that could determine access to abortion medication for millions of women. The dispute revolves around whether the FDA overstepped its authority when it made it easier to get mifepristone, one of two drugs used in medication abortion. Inthi Metzger, a spokeswoman for Planned Parenthood, says it is the biggest abortion case since the justices overturned Roe v. Wade.
This could upend and jeopardize medication abortion access in all 50 states. There's a lot at stake, and it's really unfortunate that almost 2 years later, we are back at the Supreme Court fighting for our rights.
Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, says the justices need to rein in the FDA.
They are letting their zeal for abortion guide their actions and control their actions. I do question their sincerity and their expertise in this area.
The High Court must decide whether to reverse a federal appeals court ruling that cut off access to mifepristone through the mail and shorten the time the drug can be used from 10 weeks to 7. Global news 24 hours a day and whenever you want it with Bloomberg News Now. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. Well, we do bring you news throughout the day right here on Bloomberg Radio. But now, as Michael said, you can get the latest news on demand, and that means whenever you want it. You can subscribe to Bloomberg News Now to get the latest headlines right at the click of a button. Get informed on your schedule. You can listen and subscribe to Bloomberg News Now on the Bloomberg Business app, Bloomberg.com, plus Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Now for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A little Knicks history made at the Garden, tail end of an otherwise uneventful blowout win over the lowly Detroit Pistons. Dante DiVincenzo made his 11th three-pointer of the game. That's a Knick record. He poured in 40 points. The Knicks won 124-99. DiVincenzo had help from his former Villanova teammates. Jalen Brunson scored 28. And another triple-double for Josh Hart, his sixth of the year. Nets ended a six-game losing streak. They won in Toronto, 96-88. The league-leading Celtics in Atlanta blew a 30-point lead, lost by two. The Wizards won by two in Chicago, just their 14th win of the season. The NCAA women's tourney, the final home game for Caitlin Clark. She scored 32. Her teammates only added 22, but Iowa won by 10. UConn beat Syracuse as Huskies star Paige Beckers also scored 32, and her coach, Gino Auriemma, said Beckers, not Clark, is the best player in the nation. News broke last week of the firing of Shohei Ohtani's interpreter and close friend, Ipe Muzaharia, for stealing millions from Ohtani to cover his gambling debts. In the original ESPN report, Muzaharia said Ohtani himself made payments to an illegal bookie. He later changed his story. Ohtani, through his new interpreter, made his first public comments yesterday.
I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
Ohtani says he knew nothing about anything until last week. NFL owners meeting in Orlando, they voted to penalize the so-called hip drop tackle. They voted in the opportunity for teams to challenge roughing the passer and intentional grounding penalties. They delayed a vote on whether private equity firms can acquire stakes in teams. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalize and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at idaireland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through.
Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Coast to coast on Bloomberg Radio, nationwide on Sirius XM, and around the world on Bloomberg.com, Bloomberg Television, and the Bloomberg Business App. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And we are following some breaking news out of Baltimore on Bloomberg. The Francis Scott Key Bridge has collapsed in Baltimore. That bridge spans the lower Patapsco River and the outer Baltimore Harbor. It carries Maryland Route 695 in Baltimore. Some folks may know it as the Baltimore Beltway. It's a major thoroughfare. We're going to get the very latest now with Bloomberg's Kriti Gupta. She's been covering this story all morning long. She brings us the very latest. Kriti, can you just bring us up to speed on what happened this morning?
So we're still putting the details together, Amy, but what we do know is that this is a cargo ship flagged in Singapore, and what that basically means, they run the Singapore flag, doesn't necessarily mean they're from Singapore, that hit the Baltimore Bridge. This is the Francis Scott Bridge that we saw, as you mentioned, in Baltimore, which is the first bridge, by the way, that gets you into the port of Baltimore, that gets you into Baltimore Harbor. Now, the reason this is so significant is because, of course, it's been named as a mass casualty event, not only by the mayor of Baltimore, but some of the other authorities involved as well. It is still a rescue operation. Reports from anywhere between 7 to 20 people at the moment, where you did see actually vehicles that were crossing the bridge at the time go into the water. So in terms of details of what actually happened, that is all we know. But of course, those details are still rolling in.
Can you give us an idea of how it looks? I know you've been following this from the very beginning. We've heard reports it's a partial collapse, but it just seems far more serious than that.
So it is a partial collapse in that this is one part of a bridge that spans a very, very long way. What's significant about this part of the bridge for commuters around the world and around the country that aren't familiar, that this is a part of the bridge that a lot of people going from D.C. to New York use. You kind of use the bridge to go around Baltimore and avoid the kind of inner city traffic there. So that's why this part of the bridge is so significant. That's why they're calling it a partial collapse, even though from the images, it looks like the entire thing fell into the water.
And you had mentioned that this was a ship, a cargo ship that had been flagged in Singapore. Do we know anything else about that ship? Did it sink? Is it still there? Is it on the scene? What do we know?
It looks like the remnants are still on the scene. It did not sink just yet. But remember, we're talking about a cargo ship that was big enough to strike a bridge here. What's also important is that it is a Singapore flagship. I believe it's called the Dali, based on just kind of tracking reports that we've gotten. And it's actually one that is headed for Colombo, Sri Lanka. So we're still waiting on the details of what kind of trade it was, whether it was headed in or out of the port, and whether or not this was a mechanical failure, whether it was a deliberate action. We don't know these details just yet. Again, Amy, first and foremost, this is a rescue operation. But what we do know about the surrounding area is simply that the Interstate Highway I-695, I believe the traffic is halted for motorists, as is the Port of Baltimore itself. It is not taking in any new cargoes at the moment.
And very briefly, you had mentioned it was a mass casualty event. You had said some numbers. Can you repeat those for us?
Well, it looks like, according to AP, about 7 people were believed to have fallen in the water. You've seen reports from other news organizations that have put that number up to 20. So the numbers are still quickly moving, and of course, an ongoing developing situation.
Bloomberg's Kriti Gupta, thank you very much for bringing us up to speed. This breaking news out of Baltimore: the Francis Scott Key Bridge has at least partially collapsed. It is a major thoroughfare for commuters. There were cars on the bridge when this cargo ship hit it, and we will bring you more as we get it. We're going to be shifting gears now, talking about politics. President Biden gaining ground against Donald Trump in 6 of 7 key swing states, significantly so in at least 2 of them. And the result makes for the Democrats' strongest position yet in a monthly Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll. We're going to break down some of these numbers now with Bloomberg News politics reporter Laura Davison. Laura, thank you for taking the time. Let's get into this poll. It shows President Biden gaining some ground. Where is he gaining traction?
Yeah, so really the blue wall states are where you're seeing him pick up the most support. So this is Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. These are states that he won in in 2020 were critical. And that, you know, while there's, you know, about seven swing states around the country, you know, these are the three that Biden has really focused on in terms of his travels, in terms of his outreach to auto workers, and really where he feels, you know, that he kind of, you know, is able to speak to voters the most. There's, you know, also Nevada, Arizona, North Carolina, as well as Georgia, where he actually lost ground this month.
Is where we saw him gaining traction, is this a one-time bump? Is this some sustainable change? Are we able to gauge that?
So right now, this is just one data, the 1 month of data. You know, for this month has been, or this poll has been conducted since October, and we've seen Trump with a steady lead and growing. This is the first month we've really seen those fortunes reverse for Biden, and seen his numbers tick up. You know, this poll was in the field in mid March when a couple significant things were happening. This went in right after both Trump and Biden clinched the nominations for their respective parties. So the race really crystallized and solidified for a lot of people, knowing that, okay, these are going to be the two candidates. The other thing that happened right before the poll went into the field is Biden had a State of the Union address. This was generally lauded as a good speech for the president, where he had a vibrant speech, was able to reach out to a lot of people. So these were sort of two favorable things for Biden heading into when voters were asked about their preferences.
Let's talk a little bit about Donald Trump, since you brought him up. I'm wondering if that had any impact on the polling. And what I'm referring to is his legal issues. He had a lot going on in court yesterday, which we'll get to. But did any of that seem to register with voters, or is that just wallpaper?
So for right now, it's wallpaper. People, you know, Trump's legal issues have been going on for, you know, basically a year now at this point, with multiple indictments, court appearances. You know, they have really, you know, kind of bubbled up recently with, you know, all of these large judgments that he has to pay and trying to find the financing for that. But what the poll really shows is people's opinions on who they're going to vote for or not vote for don't really crystallize until or unless Trump is convicted of a crime. And given sort of the way that a lot of these trials have been delayed, it's not looking like it's very likely that there would necessarily be any conviction by the time November rolls around.
Except for one trial, right? Well, let's learn more about the one that's coming up next month. It's that hush money trial. And the judge just yesterday said, nope, we're doing this April 15th. Jury selection. Let's learn more about that. Donald Trump was not delighted with that decision.
Yes, this is one that they had been trying to push further and further. You know, and his lawyer's argument was, look, any trial before the election is fundamentally unfair. This it did get delayed slightly. It was supposed to start this week, actually. It was pushed to start April 15th. So this will be the first real test. A lot of legal watchers. This is the hush money trial, looking at Stormy Daniels and a payment made to her back before the 2016 election. So this is really seen as the weakest of the various indictments that are out there, but this could really be a test case to see both, how things are playing out in the courtroom, but also politically, do opinions start to shift after people see, Donald Trump in the courtroom for weeks on end sitting trial.
Now, he also managed to make a lot of money yesterday. A social media company wrapped up its long merger process. Trump in one day gained billions of dollars. How's that going to impact his campaign?
So for right now, these are paper gains that he has, but he is able to tap this money come October, which, of course, is, just weeks before the presidential election. But, it's a really interesting dichotomy for Trump right now, because he is richer than he has ever been. However, he is facing all of these strains on his finances. He, has, a judgment, this $175 million payment that was reduced from, more than $500 million yesterday, but still a substantial sum, as well as legal fees that are mounting. His campaign is not doing well financially. So he has a lot of financial pressures facing him.
You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, Sirius XM, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.